Oh, welcome everyone to our first module here. Such a pleasure to have you all here. And first of all, just want to say congratulations. You actually carved out this time to invest in yourself, to come and get more clear about your finances, to connect with other women. This in itself is a success. So I'm really grateful that you're here today. So I'd like to begin just by inviting everyone, if you'd like to close your eyes or can, you're welcome to. Just taking a few deep breaths right now at this moment. We just had all those words from Sherry and computer stuff. I'd like to bring us back into the center of our own body. So feeling those deep, full breaths all the way into your belly, feeling perhaps your feet on the ground, the chair beneath you, just coming fully present here and now, and feeling this flow of your breath in and out. And I invite you to notice just how you're feeling at the moment. You're beginning something new with people you haven't met before. Just acknowledging any feelings that arise. So, open your eyes when you're ready. And I invite everyone to remain aware of how interconnected we really all are. It's this amazing thing. We have our own individual bodies, and yet we are part of a web of creation which flows in and out and actually sustains us, right? And so just acknowledging that we are but one node in this magnificent web of life. And I'd like to share why discussing our true wealth is actually a revolutionary act, and why I am so passionate about us coming together as women in particular to really explore and get vulnerable and be willing to look within and without and ultimately create more of what we truly want in life. And to make our decisions from this place of intimacy with ourselves. And there is so much noise and distraction and all this other stuff in the media and what's happening in today's world. So it's so powerful to take time for yourself to reflect on what's truly important. Because it's our responsibility and honor to manage our resources in a way that really is fulfilling and satisfying. And this isn't about how much money you have or what you own, but I also mean resources in the sense of your energy and your attention and choosing activities and relationships which truly contribute to your true wealth. And I find that the more that we are able to understand what is most valuable for us, then those decisions become much easier. So in this conversation about value and worth, we are choosing to open a doorway to true wealth. And I'm not talking about abundance and a whole bunch of more stuff. And I'm not even talking about getting rich with more money. It's actually a deeper desire that we all have to be acknowledged for our unique gifts, as well as a desire to connect and contribute to the world in a positive way. And, you know, for some of us, that's with our families and educating our children. And some of us, that's just the way that we show up at work with kindness, with listening and compassion. And so I find that the more I really, this will be an interactive experience during this course, because I find that the more we're able to share, that we can break through some of that shame and guilt and fear that most everyone I've met is holding about money. And so this is actually a revolutionary opportunity in a world that wants to tell you every single day you are not enough, to claim your own true worth and know your value so intimately is incredibly powerful. And what do I mean by a story of not enough? Well, it's connected with a larger consumerist marketing of telling us that we need to buy something else in order to be enough. And just the drive in modern American culture to consume more as a sign of success. And so many people equate the size of their bank account to their identity and their success. And this is actually quite heartbreaking for many. I've talked to people who wanted to actually kill themselves because of their financial situation. And we've seen it. We've seen the immense suffering when people not only are suffering financially, but that deep feeling of not enough. And so it's through actually one of the most sacred acts of exchange that we can claim our worth. So what do I mean by that? I mean that caring for one another through exchange is actually one of the most important and sacred acts as humans. And it's what sustains us and brings meaning into life, is being able to connect with others and be recognized for our unique genius. And so that's what we need more of today. And I hope that this course really does inspire you to bring forth your unique voice and to trust that it's good enough and to really take action on what brings you greater vitality and what is most enjoyable and satisfying to you. And so, you know, as we approach the four areas of wealth, which I will go into more later, but as we have a bigger holistic picture of all the value within, we actually discover like amazing treasures and insights because we are exploring our own territory within. And this, I believe, the more people are in connected to their own inner sense of dignity and worth, that we can have a world of cooperation and humility, actually, that we can say, I see we are all incredibly amazing and have valuable things to offer. So, you know, what I'd like to say about wealth before we go into the four areas today, which we'll be discussing in more detail, is that it's not entirely measurable. As a great colleague of mine, Arthur Brock, says, it's like we're hiding a mountain of wealth behind a molehill of money. And because our quality of life has variety and is satisfying cannot be entirely measured. And so wealth is not even a goal, but a state of being that's constantly in flux depending on the seasons of our lives and our circumstances and our own inner evolution. And so the inventory, which you'll find In module 2 inside the course, we'll take you into some more self-reflective questions about each of these four areas, which we'll begin to dive into today. Because really we find this longing to engage in a more satisfying relationship with life itself through our sacred exchange. And so it's, just my desire that we bring this kind of sacred pleasure back into our everyday money and exchange. So let's jump into these four areas of wealth. If you'd like to pull up that graphic for me, we'll be talking about this wheel of value, which actually creates a more round and healthy sense of who we truly are. We have the inner wealth, relational, financial, and environmental. And you can see there kind of the different qualities of each of those. So let's go ahead and start with inner wealth. And I do encourage people to have some paper and pen if you'd like nearby. So the first and fundamental aspect of wealth is found within you. And it's always so satisfying to find treasures when you explore your inner wealth. Because this really is the foundation of the three other areas of wealth. And you know, your perception of what your inner wealth is very subjective and changes. As we all know, we have good days and we have some days where we are our own worst critic. And so it's just, I encourage you to do this exploration with courage and be gentle with yourself too. It really is deep and significant work. And, you know, when we talk about shifting our money mindset, this is such a key leverage point to having a more, fulfilling and satisfying life. And yet, some of the new age movement with positive affirmations for greater prosperity often ignores the shadow side and the difficulties and the ways that we struggle and judge ourselves. And so it's really my intention to bring both of those for a more full picture of who we truly are, and honoring all of it, honoring the challenges that we have been through and what gifts they've brought us. A great quote here by Jacob Needleman says, "Money is a mode of organizing your life in the material world. Money is an invention, a mental device, very necessary, very ingenious, but in the end, a product of the mind." And so I'd like everyone, if you want to go ahead and put up that inner wealth graphic again, just take a few moments here to list three things in your life that have deeply tested your inner strength. And then next to each experience, list the qualities that you gained. So yes, that inner wealth, you know, it's really like a new perspective, or maybe you already think this way, when we have a challenging situation or experience, being willing to look at what gifts we may receive out of that circumstance. Because when we go through something challenging and hard, there can be incredible wisdom, insights. We actually grow and change through these things. So instead of resisting whatever terrible thing it seems like someone is doing to you, can we actually look at it with curiosity? I encourage everyone just to let this curiosity lead you through your life. What could I gain from this? And then reflecting, how am I different because I went through this experience. Let's go into the relational wealth. There's a great quote I love that says, "Each friend represents a world in us, a world not born until they arrive. And it is only by this meeting that a new world is born." Anais Nin. So obviously there's immense value in our social relationships, and our reputation is actually a type of currency, because it shows where, it kind of tracks the energy of where we have been, our reputation. And, you know, you can see this on Amazon or eBay when you get 5 stars, and how important that is as far as tracking our relational value. So obviously the way we relate to other people influences not only our own, but their physical and emotional health. And as I like to say, people don't just have relationships. We are a relationship. And can we take this out a step further from our human relationships and acknowledge that we are, this also includes animals, the food you eat, our computers and our phones, and the mineral and plant kingdom. So when we look at our connection as a source of value, then we become much more discerning about how we engage with others, how we choose to, what we choose to bring into our lives. And so there is an incredible amount of power with who we surround ourselves with. I was actually reading about the neuroscience of this and what we actually do become like the people that we're around. And they see that in our brains and the mirror neurons and the way that we actually do, you know, become like one another. So I'd like everyone to take a moment here with this question. And go ahead and list the teachers, mentors, relatives, or elders that you love and admire today because of the significant positive impact they've had on your life. Next to their name, list their qualities that you most admire. And then later on, you know, I really encourage you to choose someone to write a thank you letter to. It is so powerful to give that gratitude. So just take a few, just a minute or so here to reflect on this. Okay. All right. So I, everyone get ready. I would like to put us in 2 breakout rooms with 2 people each. So you can just have a moment. We'll do like 2 minutes for each person just to share your name, where you live, you know, what brought you here, and if there's anything from those first 2 reflective questions that really stood out or that you'd like to share. All right. So yeah, it's amazing hearing from other people just how some really challenging experiences like divorce and finding a family, finding themselves homeless briefly, actually got strength and inner fortitude for these people. So let's move into financial wealth, because this is obviously the heart of a lot of our struggle and suffering. As Lewis Lampham said, money ranks as one of the primary materials with which mankind builds the architecture of civilization. So money essentially is an agreement of social value. And you know, its value relies on it being willing to be exchanged. Someone has to accept your dollar for it to make it worth something. And way too often people confuse it with their own self-worth. And certainly American society glamorizes financial wealth at the expense of other aspects of wealth. And we see these unrealistic expectations of what success looks like. And the reality is, looking at the economic numbers, it's getting harder and harder for more and more people as more and more financial wealth is consolidated into the hands of a few. And so this is why it's so important to redefine our value and wealth to include all of these other aspects. So it's important to have a sense of your numbers, and we'll go into some of that later. But I find it's more important to look at what is your ideal relationship with the flow of giving and receiving money throughout life. And some people, you know, choose to ignore their financial reality. And on the other end of the spectrum, we see people totally fixated on it. So let's put up that question. Just take a moment to reflect. Okay, everyone, here I'm back. All right, so, you know, what I want to tell you is you are not alone in suffering. Almost everyone I've talked to has been suffering in some way around their relationship with money, their struggles with self-worth, their challenges of, you know, finding out how much to charge or what they're worth. And there's so many layers to exploring our finances. And like I was saying, it can be so easy to ignore them, which is what I did for years. Even studying economics in school, I got out and had no idea how to track my own personal money. So I find that we're not taught the basic skills of how to manage our finances effectively. And then that layered with shame and, kind of fear if we're doing things wrong. Most of us have trouble asking for help and support. And so again, just thank you for being here. And I'd like to see if anyone has a story that you're willing to share now. Just go ahead and open up your mic and your audio if you are willing to share here. So I'll go ahead and share. Just raise your hand if you'd ever like to ask a question or if it sparks something within you. I know it's kind of weird to talk to your computer screen and some strangers, but I do encourage you to take a leap if you're willing and share something. So one experience I had with, so this was a few years back after I had my first baby. I was totally like out of touch with managing the finances like I had been doing. So we had like several late fees and these things happened, and I totally just judged myself. I was like, oh my God, this is my one responsibility is tracking my money and paying the bills for my family and keeping my baby alive, of course. But it was just like so much shame and guilt around that. And, and then I found a credit card that I thought had had 0% interest still. A few months after the baby was born, I thought to log into that account and saw that I was getting charged, 13% interest. And, the balance was only $800, but by the end of that, it was almost the end of the year. It had been almost $200 in interest. And I was just outraged and also, just really, it did motivate me to get more organized and to have systems in place so nothing fell through the cracks like that. And so it was really out of necessity in needing to leverage my time, being a new mother, having limited time to be on the computer, to really make the most of my systems and get things in place for how I tracked the money, for how I paid off my debt. And, the great thing is it released so much anxiety because I never really felt like I knew whether I could afford something or not. And it was just kind of blindly spending and then regretting it. It was so many things were happening because I didn't have a clear picture of what my financial situation was. And so I noticed that as I was able to face that confusion, I like to call it a money fog, because many of us are just kind of wandering through the fog, just kind of, putting out the fires as they come, but not really having a clear sense of where we're going, what our financial goals are, who our support team is, who to reach out to with questions. And so I really became more motivated. And it was a necessity to make the most of my limited time. And so I know a lot of you can relate. One of you is a mom of four, another is working two jobs, and I just really get it that it can be hard to sit down and find that time to look at your money and to do the bookkeeping, and just really encourage you to use this course to get the momentum to really have greater financial clarity. And that may involve setting up some systems or hiring a financial professional. I just encourage you to be willing to take some next steps around that. And if you aren't tracking your money already, I do encourage you to go ahead and begin. Just try it. And that just is as simple as collecting receipts. And I've outlined the 9 steps of a basic accounting strategy if you sign into the members part of the page, my website. In module 1, you'll find those details. And it's really quite simple. And, I'm here for support for you too, because I know it can be intimidating. And, I feel like this myth of I'm not good at numbers, or I'm too creative to do the bookkeeping, I just don't get it. These type of excuses that actually keep us from being empowered and having the information about what flow of energy is going through our lives. And what places is it leaking out unnecessarily? Is it like my credit card example? Is there something hiding that's actually sucking away your life force energy, your money, from you? So it's a great time to kind of look like you're looking into a dark room and you're choosing to turn on the light right now, because you've signed up for this course, you're here. And, when we do that, we see lots of, cobwebs maybe. And, maybe there's little things that skitter to hide into the, shadows. And so, just encourage you to keep that light on and be willing to begin to care for this room of your financial wealth. And the benefits really ripple out in many ways. Gosh, I've had people who are just willing to like look at this and, you know, address some old unresolved money issues. And then like amazing things happen. It's just, whether it's found money or, resolutions that bring them, you know, actual financial cash, or just simply, a greater sense of well-being, which is ultimately what wealth is about, right? It's our whole sense of well-being. And so when we're less anxious and stressed about money because it's kind of chaotic and confusing and we're not really sure what's happening, then it's easy to get stressed and lay there awake at night, not sure where you're going to get the money to pay for this and that. So just encourage people, the next step for you will be going into that module one. And then there's a money history questionnaire, which I encourage you to set aside some special time for yourself. Maybe light a candle, maybe have some chocolate, something that is enjoyable and pleasurable for you, whatever that is. And look at those questions and do some journaling, around those things. And then, if you're extra motivated, share that with someone else. Maybe it's a partner or family member, someone that you can explore together, and actually experience voicing some of these tender, intimate parts of yourself. Because as I've found in my workshops, money is pretty much as taboo as anything else. It's up there with talking about sex. And so just let this encourage you to share with someone else you love, who you want to get more intimate with. Maybe have a date with your husband. And look at these questions on your own and then share together. I was amazed like 5 or 6 years ago when I looked at these questions with my husband, because parts of his childhood that I never had heard about came to the surface. And so it was such a great way when we'd been together for 10 years already, and yet I was still learning more about him. And this is the same for yourself. You know yourself so well. And yet when we consciously reflect on what is impacting our behaviors and influencing our actions, then we can make a choice. We can say, is this serving me any longer? Or am I ready to shift this pattern, whatever the case may be for you? So I invite anyone, is there anyone who would like to share at this moment about any past money challenges or traumas that you have, and how that's changed how you look at money now? Okay, so if at any time something does come up, just go ahead and raise your hand. So let's move into environmental wealth. You know, and this, I mean, environmental in a bigger sense than just, the earth and the, physical world of our environment. Because in a sense, yes, the earth is the source of all value here in this physical manifestation. And, we have the planet and our bodies on it, our physical environment. And, and what this teaches us about money is actually just a fundamental demonstration of the abundant nature of the universe and of the creative cycles within that. Because, you know, you plant one seed of corn and then you have, you know, many hundreds of seeds from tending that plant. So that's one basic example of what I mean by abundance, although that needs to be seen within the cycles of the seasons, right? Because then the land lays fallow. And our own lives go through these cycles of creative manifestation and then rest. And and so it's just honoring all of that, because I feel like all this New Age talk around abundance is actually not honoring the cycles and putting unreal expectations on people to manifest abundance when we do live in a finite physical universe. So I like to bring that kind of reality back into the spiritual conversation. So when we're talking about environmental wealth, also consider the value that your surroundings have on your overall well-being. Because when we assess our surroundings and look at the assets and liabilities within our true wealth, you know, it's things like our, not only our physical surroundings, but also our energetic and emotional surroundings. You know, are you in, is your work situation toxic in some way emotionally? Are there ways you can shift that or change that? And so I encourage people to really, with this environmental wealth, look at a bigger sense of your surroundings and how that influences you. So my question for you today, I'd like you just to take a moment to list what areas you feel are cluttered in your physical environment. And then take action on cleaning one of those areas by a certain date. So go ahead and just reflect on that. Okay, so I do encourage you to take action on that this week, if you're able, even a small thing like the bathroom drawer, you know. So I encourage people to make small, doable steps. It's better than saying my whole house is a wreck and I'm overwhelmed by the clutter and not doing anything. Just really choose something that you can take action on in your life. So I'd like to move now into discussing the importance of connection and building empathy. Because what I see is how much our fear, shame, and guilt around money keeps us apart and keeps us separate. And, you know, this is true at an individual level within our families and the family strife and the amount of wealth that is not passed down, and lost in inheritances because families are bickering and unable to really connect with what the deeper needs and desires of each person is. And again, this is no surprise because we aren't taught basic communication skills in primary school. And so I find it very powerful to begin to exercise these muscles of communicating with one another, of being willing to get vulnerable and have a safe space to do that. And so, you know, it's really part of this bigger story of separation that is seen in so many ways and is really coming to a head, where we can't pretend we're separate islands unto ourselves. No, your pollution in the water actually affects millions of people down the stream. And the internet has shown us how interconnected our thoughts and our words are. And how our actions really can and do influence a great number of people. And I see this as it's like a colonization of our mind. Is we are seeing so much divisiveness to divide us in this country in particular right now. It is so much about blaming other people and, you know, really having in-groups and out-groups, and we're right and wrong, and it's so either-or logic. And I just really encourage people, as we discuss this, to shift to a more of a both-and perspective, where we really can include the other person's point of view, where we can actually maybe receive some of the truth or understand where that person is coming from. And so quickly we want to judge others, and it's just important to actually build compassion through and empathy. And what I mean by empathy is our ability to imagine what the other person may be feeling, and to build that understanding, because we actually pause and try and imagine ourselves in their shoes. And that creates a whole different web of society and ways that we can have more emotional intelligence to actually encounter anyone in the world when we're able to actually get where they're coming from. Even the most horrible, vile person that you can imagine, that you may feel anger or hatred or, you know, how in the world could that person say that is disgusting. You know, really practice this level of spiritual compassion of, wow, it looks like that person may be suffering. And as a Buddhist teacher of mine shared, one of the most powerful things we can do when we encounter someone who is clearly suffering is to acknowledge that suffering. And, you know, and see what happens, and be willing to say, that not from a judgmental or you're broken and I want to fix you kind of place, but just like, I get it. It's really hard, you know, affirm, you know, I understand it's hard for you. It's suffering. So having that kind of reflective communication where someone's really being heard and seen can really do wonders in a relationship. And, you know, this is how empathy and compassion actually build greater leadership and our capacity to influence and impact others in a positive way, because we are really putting ourselves in their shoes and saying, well, that may not be my experience, but I'm willing to imagine what you're going through and meet you in that place of love. And also, I find that our connection is crucial for building resilience. And I'd like to talk just for a moment about what resilience is and why it's important. We'll be going into this more in depth later in the course. But I find this is even more important than sustainability, which has gotten so much buzz in the last decade or so, sustainable this and that. But truly, people, do we want to sustain this system, which is cannibalizing our planet? And so instead of sustaining and trying to keep what was as functioning, perhaps we could look at resilience and face the fact that our climate is changing in who knows what ways, that that things are really in transition and flux. And as an economist, and in the conversations I've had with different people, in it is clear that our economy is in deep trouble. And although the stock market is higher than it ever has been, there are fundamental problems in the design of money and the economy, as we are seeing with growing debt in many, many countries, cities, individuals. We're seeing the student loan debt, as one banker recently shared with me, it's likely that we may see another mortgage kind of housing bubble collapse because there are more and more aging baby boomers who are still in their 20, 30-year mortgages with facing drastically reduced income levels. And so there are a lot of systemic problems, not to cause alarm, but I do, this is why I'm so passionate about resilience. It's because we need to really take action now that will benefit us regardless of the external circumstances. Because there are things in our lives that do contribute to our wealth and sense of well-being, regardless of what our bank account looks like. And so I just encourage everyone to really look at that reality and, you know, not react from a place of fear, but be willing to be informed and, you know, again, weaving this back to the connection piece and why connection is crucial for resilience. Resilience being our ability to respond intelligently to change. So resilience after your divorce, how quickly can you readapt to what's happened and respond to that change and get the finances in order and have new ways of being? You know, several of us are moms with little kids and what kind of resilience it takes to become a mom for the first time and adjust to those new demands. And so our relationships are crucial for that. Our connection with other people, our ability to be in trusted relationship and communicate clearly and ask for what we need and be willing to receive. And not only our connection to other people, but our own spiritual connection with ourselves, whatever that looks like for you, taking some time each day, ideally, to love yourself. I'll say it that simply, to love yourself. For some, it looks like meditation, play, exercise, crafts, you know, everyone, it's different for everyone. So it doesn't have to be meditation on a mat in silence at 5 a.m. You know, it's just let yourself connect in self-love. Even for a few minutes every day really does impact your well-being. And then it's connection also, for resilience to building connection, like I said, with your physical environment and surroundings and what is it, where does your water come from and your food and, you know, what is it, do you need to lighten your load so that you could, you know, become more mobile more easily or something. So there's a lot of different ways that we can build resilience today. And by taking those simple actions in your everyday life that benefit you no matter what, then the news doesn't seem so scary. When you turn on the TV, it seems like we're on the brink of World War III. And this may be true, and yet, how do you translate this into action into your life? And what is most important to you? There's also a piece of resilience, which is like letting go of what, is not important to you and being willing to continually clear up and, prioritize our own life. And so, just curious if people have any comments or questions. Go ahead and hop on, raise your hands, or unmute yourself around building resilience in these changing times. All right. So let's see. I would like to try another breakout here since we have a little more time. If people are up for that. And just know that these breakouts won't be included in the recording for people who couldn't make it here today. So your sharing is private on these. So what I'd like you to do in this breakout is, let's see, just share your reflections on today and what you got out of this session, and really practice reflective listening with the other person. So, you know, one person share until you're complete about what you got out of this, and then your partner will say back to you what they heard, and try and keep that as simple, direct, to the point. Just really important to practice this active listening instead of thinking of what we're going to share and say next. Let that just come spontaneously. So as we prepare to close this first session, just invite everybody to take some deep breaths and appreciate yourself for showing up. Like I said, it is no small feat to come and talk about money with other women in a world today that is so full of distraction and noise and, you know, stress. It's like we are truly creating a new story of money and wealth through our connections, through exploring it ourselves. This is a revolutionary act, as I said in the beginning, because it impacts not only you when you take the time to, say, look at your money history questionnaire in the course area, you know, to take that time for yourself, it ripples out into how you interact with your family and how you perceive the world, what you choose to notice, and how you choose to respond intelligently instead of react from old patterns of behavior that are likely rooted from some childhood experience that you had about money. You would not believe the stories I have heard from people and the messages that they picked up so early on from their parents' stress about money and saying that they were running out of money in the bank account. And then this woman just, you know, took that and thought it was true to be true all the time. And so there's things that happen when we're children that we don't understand, but we internalize and maybe don't even remember. And so the more that we can explore and like back to that curiosity piece, like really just have that childlike curiosity this week. Whoa, notice what do you overhear people talking about money? What experiences do you have? Does something happen or you have a choice of whether to engage with the homeless woman or, you know, just how are you evolving through just having these conversations, through committing to this course? And I tell you, it really does ripple out in unexpected ways. And when we have the curiosity, then we're more likely to find the treasures and hidden gifts within even challenging experiences. So we will have, next week we'll be looking into what is enough on all different levels. And this programming of not enough and this whole myth is one of the most powerful forces in our world right now on so many levels, the scarcity and this feeling of anxiety and stress that results. And so I encourage people to go ahead and sign into the members area. Like I said, there's a simple guide with the 9 steps of accounting. And if you're up for an extra challenge, consider beginning to track your money and collect those receipts and see what you do spend and make this week. And then we'll also have an inventory in module 2. You'll see an assignment that kind of takes you through a few questions to go deeper into these 4 areas of wealth. And, you know, like I said, be gentle. Like, okay, we can't be strong in all of these areas. We're going to have weaknesses and challenges. Maybe you have great relationships, but no money in your bank account. Or maybe you feel all alone, but you have a huge bank account. So everyone is in a unique circumstance. And I just encourage you to love yourself no matter what. Because ultimately, this course really is based on this foundation of self-love. And how do we invite not only more wealth, financial, environmental, relationships, but how do we invite greater self-love into our life? And so I encourage you also to do the money history questionnaire and discuss it with a loved one. Like really get vulnerable and set aside some time to look through that and explore that with someone and make it enjoyable and special and intimate. And then also encourage you to invite a friend for next week. Not by sharing this link, but by sharing some of the emails I've sent. And you also have a 50% off code now that was sent in that welcome email. And I just encourage you to invite someone, because when we can share this experience with others who are in our lives and who we love, then we're even stronger in our commitments, in our ability to really practice these things and be able to integrate into our lives. Because I know we've all got inspired taking different workshops at different times, and yet bringing this awarenesses back into our daily lives is where the true transformation can really occur at a deeper level. So it's just, I really encourage you to know that this is bigger than any single one of us, that there is a bigger movement of women in the world claiming our value, our immense worth. Those of us who are ready to stop hiding and playing it small to make others feel comfortable, those of us who are ready to let forth our authentic voice and expression. Because this, my friends, is what the world needs now more than ever. We don't need more money to be printed. We don't need more debt. What we need is to be able to collaborate and cooperate in ways that access the collective intelligence and bring forth the innate genius within each one of us so that we can take better care of ourselves. So that we can steward the earth and our waters and resources for the next 7 generations. And so this is why I applaud you for taking this courageous step in your own life to love yourself more, to invite in greater satisfaction and joy into your life and know your true wealth. Thank you so much for being here tonight, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you. Mm.